welcome, people in the rap world. This is another episode of Hip Hop Soiree.
Oh.
Hey.
Oh.
Coming to you with the best people to critique rap music, or that I think are the best people to critique it. You have DJ Goose.
And Poppy.
And it's come time for the end of the year to review everything that we've listened to and to give our top five rap songs, in our opinion, each individual list. And then we have our top five worst songs that we heard. Again, the criteria for this was it's if we heard it this year. So if it did come out last year or a few years back, the only requirement is that we is the first time hearing it was this year, right? I think that was the only criteria.
That is correct. So I have a song or two that actually released last year. So it's did we hear it in the 2018 calendar? And if we did, fair game for us to put it on as the best song we heard this year.
Yep. And so
or worst.
Yeah. So I mean, I think I got to listen to a lot more new stuff just because when we started this podcast, I tried to do more research on the new artists and ones that Poppy like gave me, recommendations to listen to. So, this is what I like about this episode is that I think it's gonna be very different because I think Poppy and I have we have a lot of things that we like, but that we have also very distinct things that we like about either rappers or songs or whatever it may be. So our criteria might not go all the way into what we did, like if it's the beat's good or if the flow's good or lyrics, whatever, because you've heard our reviews on other songs and what we like, what we dislike. So if we need to go into more clarification, we will. But I mean, let's just start this off with I was thinking let's go like I go five, or and then four, then three, then two, then one.
Yeah.
All right, before we go to one, we go to our honorable mentions.
Fair
if
enough.
We have any. So for my number five song, it actually comes from the Carter Five from Lil Wayne. And again, that album took me by surprise because I did not like Lil Wayne. I thought he just was overrated. And this album it punched me in the face. I was like, okay, I'll listen to you. And the one that I really liked was Perfect Strangers on this album. It's a very like introspective view on this character that Lil Wayne is portraying, where he's not a faithful guy. Like in the opening lyrics, he talks about like he's talking to the man and he said this is where it gets interesting. He says in her mirror, meaning his girlfriend, who's sleeping with all these girls and all this stuff, and not being faithful. But in that same story though, she's also one not showing affection towards him as well. And like in the song, he's conflicted because he wants to, like, he does want to feel that love, but he's not. But he's with a person that he doesn't feel it with, and because he doesn't feel that with, he has this desire to be deceptive and to cheat and all this stuff. So it's a very interesting song. It's like it feels like he's giving these two views on it, and it was just very interesting. It was a very interesting story to hear. And like there's just some lines in there like, that I really like. Like one, like he talks about like he says like as he leaves like this apartment that she asks like, why do you keep yourself here? They're watching their phones while they're watching TV, so they're not really communicating with each other. But like he says like when he leaves, he picks up his keys, kisses on the forehead, which to me is like a kiss of endearment, something endearing you do to someone. So it was a very interesting and complicated song that I was not expecting from it at all. And so that's why he deserves my number five spot here on my list.
Okay, that's actually pretty good. I like that song a lot too. Needless to say, on an earlier episode this year, I mentioned how much I really appreciated the album and I liked it. So I like that. Number five for me would be one from Nas, released an album this year as well.
Okay.
And it's called Nasir. And on there is a song called Adam and Eve. You and I had talked about this before.
Yes.
Kanye produced it. The Dream is on there. He does the little chorus on it. And I kind of just like the retrospective thought process of how easy things are going for him, but also how it says the apple doesn't fall too far from the apple tree, saying how kids usually aren't much more different than what their parents are like. And he kind of changed the concept of that, right? My granddaddy Mac, little Mary, nanny little, they passed down wisdom, blessings were given. Pray my sins don't get passed to my children. I made a killing. I'm alive like the morning star. And he just makes a lot of good idioms and references and metaphors. The production, although it is odd, it is Kanye. And so for whatever reason, there's something that as weird as many of Kanye's beats are, they grab my ear pretty nicely.
Right.
So Dream having a little singy song voice throughout the song also kind of is a nice breakup to the typical spoken word of Nas. So I like the sound of it.
So when I first heard that song, I instantly thought that you were going to put him on your list, or at least someone like he's debating to put him on the list.
Yeah.
Because we're just talking just recently. You're
it's
like,
Nas. Nas yeah. is a top two, so it's hard. I might be biased a little bit, but I mean, it is Nas. I really love this song. I think it goes really well.
And there are lists, man. That means you can't dog on our opinions. I mean, you can, but we're not going to change them for you. all right, let's go to the next one. So this next one is by Logic. And Logic came out with Young Sinatra 4. And honestly, I was actually not too impressed with that album overall. Like, overall. But dang, did he have that freaking Bad A song with Wu-Tang Clan. Wu-Tang Forever. I was like, at first, I was like, no way. He didn't get the entire Wu-Tang Clan on there. And then the first song you hear, he's like, oh, you want to try my Wu-Tang style. I was like, oh my gosh. And they go into that chant, Wu-Tang.
Wu-Tang.
I was like, dang. And it's been years since I've heard like anything new that they've been on. I know Ghostface does a lot of things, but I mean the entire Wu-Tang Clan being together, featured in an album like it on a song is unprecedented. You know, for a few years that hasn't happened, and I just love the energy that was behind the song. Like it sounded very old school with the
RZA
sound
produced it. So, RZA
produced it. And I had debates on this because I looked at this because so shout out to genius.com because they do a lot of the lyrics for them, and I looked at this and they had different different sources of what they meant. But there's one line that Logic says where he's like R.I.P.O.D.B. is like I come through like Killer B, and I was like Killer B, and I was like
he's talking about bastard.
Yeah, but I was thinking like, well, I know what he's referring to, but I'm gonna take it that he's referring to Naruto as well. Killer B from there.
Yeah.
Because they say it again in that song a few times. And
well, he's, I think, admitted he's an anime fan, isn't he?
Yeah, he has. So that's why I was like, I knew he threw in that there has to be two meanings to that. It just has to be. And he does. And he does another little thing where he talks about, like, he can gather the Wu-Tang Clan like Voltron. So I'm like, come on, he's a big nerd. Of course, Killer B, he's two meanings to that. And I really like it because all of them, at one point or another, when giving their verses, they also give their opinions at the state of hip-hop right now, especially with the mumble rap. You know, Logic says, like, this crap's not here to stay. I think it was Ghostface also says, like, he's like, yeah. Who was it, the one that says, was it RZA? He's talking about being prolific in lyricism and just saying that it's not here with these new cats. And it's like a 5-minute, half-minute song. But it is so catchy, and I was just bumping that every
day. Hey, shout out to that too, because I mean I'm a big Wu-Tang fan, and for somebody he's not extremely new, quite frankly. Logic's been out for a couple years now. I think that's known. To have a collective unit like the Wu-Tang acknowledge you and hop on your album, that's a feat in and of itself. I'm not a huge Logic fan, but props for him to be able to get that crew on it track for him. I think that's impressive.
And I think we'll have to do an episode dedicated to Logic, because there's a lot of people who are like, they're like, you know, why isn't Logic getting the same recognition as Eminem? And there's like a lot of debates as to why. And I think that'd be a really good idea for the episode as well. But yeah, number four, Logic, Wu-Tang Forever featuring Wu-Tang Clan.
Nice. So I mentioned there that I might have a song or two that didn't release particularly this year.
Right.
This next one is one of those. It's released in 2017, I believe. I don't remember the album name. So this is an album or an artist I'm kind of checking out right now. Really like some of the stuff I've heard from him. It might be popular. I heard this pretty popular song. It's called Never by J.I.D. Sometimes people say Jid. He even refers to himself as Jid on the track in this very song. But it's called Never. If you guys heard the freestyle from Black Thought and Method Man on Sway in the Morning, that's where they got the beat from, and that's the second half of the song. Yes.
Okay.
Huh. So I like the perspective of the song because it's kind of two songs in one. It starts off with kind of an ominous, kind of darker tone song, and he's talking about like not feeling sorry for himself because he's never had anything. But he also relates that to being most people don't. So he's like, I'm not different from many people because most people don't have a lot. There's very few people that have a ton of things. So he just kind of goes through his motions of not having things. The beat cuts, it stops, and then all of a sudden the other one picks up. It's a bit more fun, more animated. and then when in, he just talks mess. It's a fun song, so you get, okay, I never had anything, don't care, I'm still doing what I need to. Right, he just goes, okay, never been shit, never had shit, never knew shit, never out, never do shit, damn, but a nigga never gave two shits. So he's just like, okay, who cares? I'm here to live, I'm gonna do it. Goes into the second verse. He says a lot of terrible things. Like, he talks about, like, making a girl his hand puppet, making her sound like German or something. So it's fun, it's clever, it's witty, almost Eminem-esque. He has a lot of little punchlines. He makes references to sports, right? He says, run game, bitches think I'm Todd Gurley or something. And if you don't know, Todd Gurley is a running back for the Los Angeles Rams in the NFL. He references Ray J and Ron Jeremy being a porn star, Ray J being the person who hit Kim Kardashian, who made a porno. So he makes a reference to B.I.G. saying they bleed like us, so them niggas could never scare me, you know. It's pretty clever. It's awesome. And then at the end, for whatever reason, my favorite line, it goes, then a nigga made the crowd jump like Sabumafu. And if you're from the 90s and you watch kids shows, you know what Sabumafu is. He's a lemur. He hops around. And so you go,
I love
then a nigga
that
made the crowd jump
music.
Like Sabumafu. And that's his last line. And I think it's great. And then he just ends it with like an echoey thing. Shit's beautiful. So at the end of the day, things is good for him, regardless of him not having anything.
Right.
So I like it. Two songs in one, ominous, fun, catchy. It's a good song. I think everybody should check it out.
All right, sick, sick, sick. I gotta hear that one. Okay, let's go to number three. This one is a late entry. This is like last week is when I said I heard it and I was like, this has to be in my top five. So we have to talk about Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse just a little bit.
Okay.
Because that movie, first of all, is the best Spider-Man movie ever. Okay. But the soundtrack on there also was amazing. Like, there's a lot of artists that are on there that I've never heard of before. I mean, the one that most people know is one from Post Malone. It's called, like, Flower Seed or Sunflower Seed. I honestly didn't like that song too much. It's okay. But again, Post Malone, I don't really like him that much either way. But there's this song that's called What's Up Danger. It's from Black Way and Black Caviar. Now, to give you kind of context of what's happening here, is that there's this climactic point in the movie Spider-Man, and I won't go into it, of Miles Morales, and this point where he basically is going to become Spider-Man, and this song comes on, and oh my gosh, it gave me chills when I heard it. So first of all, the entire song is basically them. They're talking about confronting danger and loving danger and risk, and that they, you know, the in the line, you know, they always say like, "What's up, danger? What's up, danger? Come, like, you know, what's up, danger? Come over here," and loving how they rise above it, like how the challenges and this weight makes them better. And it was interesting because sometimes the flow, it sounds, if you first hear it, kind of maybe sound a little bit off when he starts speeding up a little bit, but to me, the way I hear and the way I was watching it, it just fits what's going on in the movie. And that's what's...
It's like a state of mind.
Yeah, it's a state of mind. To me, it sounds like his heart's racing more. He's trying to get these things out. And even though he still might be unsure of himself, like, he's pumping himself up. And it just song just keeps building up. It's very ominous. Like, this song was like, boom. And just this little, like, doom, 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 doom. And then finally, like, it hits the climax of their song. And the guy, he sings, he's like, can't stop me now. The violence coming, I'm like, oh my gosh.
So do you think without the movie it would still make your top three?
I think it would.
Okay.
Because it has that change in the beat and the change in the tone where it sounds like it sounds ominous, then it becomes inspirational at the end. And it's like pushing you, and I love that. I love that in songs. And so it was first the beat that started getting to me, because I'm not a big fan of ominous beats overall. Because I think it's overplayed, it's overdone in a lot of rap songs nowadays. But this one, there's a purpose to it. Again, it's supposed to reflect what's happening in this movie. And I mean, and obviously, like, I can't say that this didn't push it, or I'm biased with because of what I saw. But again, I think overall it was very well produced, that it would stand by its own, even if it wasn't on the soundtrack. But yeah, if you watch Spider-Man into the Spider-Verse, watch it when Miles Morales, when he basically becomes Spider-Man, and you hear this, and it's what made me want to listen to the soundtrack, but the soundtrack is amazing either way. it's like people are debating which one was better, like the Spider-Verse one or the Black Panther album that was done by Kendrick Lamar. I was like, I don't know yet.
Yeah, but, tip for Ted. I actually haven't listened to the Spider-Man one all the way through, to be honest. I just saw the movie, so I heard it through the movie. But I really liked it. I thought it was well done.
Yeah, but yeah, number three is Black Way with Black Caviar, What's Up Danger.
Nice. Yeah, this is pretty eclectic change for songs that we're bringing up. So my number three, again, another song that didn't release this year at all. It was on a 2016 album. I believe it's his first album. Joey Badass, who I've been kind of researching recently this year. I heard him back when they did the XXL Freshman of the Year. He made that. So I decided, let me delve into it. He's from New York. He's an individual rapper, like independent. Sorry, not individual.
Like
he's independent. Kind of like what Jay-Z did.
Jay-Z did that. What's his face? How did I forget his name? The guy that does the thrift shop. Because he's Macklemore. He's independent still, right?
I believe so. I'm not sure. I don't really follow him.
I don't follow him much either, but I remember that the big deal was that he was independent.
Yeah, and one of the reasons I know Joey Badass is because I followed Jay, and Jay was actually going to sign him. He offered him a deal, and Joey declined it in an honorable way and said, no, I aspire to be kind of like him, and part of what he did is he went completely solo and did his own thing. So he decided to stay independent. But on top of that, again, his song, number three for me, Paper Trails. It's produced by the iconic DJ Premier. If you know anything about hip-hop beats, he is an undisputed, you know, Mount Rushmore producer. Phenomenal beat. You know it's going to be damn good. Joey brings the typical New York flow that I really like. So from being a young, and I think he's only like 21.
Okay.
He's very young. He's not associated with the rappers of this current era, thankfully. He has the lyrical dexterity, the flow, the style, the storytelling ability. So he references a lot of things. He references Wu-Tang in it, right?
Yep.
This song is kind of about how money has ruined his life. Not cash rule everything. Well, I mean, cash rule everything around him, but he actually says, cash ruined everything around me is his take on it. So he's kind of talking about the negative impacts of money.
Right.
And then he actually makes a reference to anime as well. So I don't know if this isn't just kind of showing the age group, but he says in there, and he references and couples it with Wu-Tang. So he goes, listen, enter the chamber, get hyperbolic, raising max, I raise stakes to keep them brawlic. So yeah, hyperbolic chambers where, you know, the Saiyans will train to get extra strong. And it was interesting because he said, enter the chamber, which is also a album that Wu-Tang did. That's one of their best, if not probably their best. So yeah, that's number three for me. I like the sound. It's DJ Premier, well-rounded, great flow. It's nothing like what you're hearing today. So if anything, it kind of maybe takes me back to to the era that I left hip-hop in.
All right, nice. Okay, let's get around to number two. And then after that, we'll just give maybe two or three honorable mentions before we go to our number ones. So number two, it comes from Eminem. So obviously, we were all surprised when Eminem had this album out on Spotify, on Google Play, and everywhere. You're just like, what the heck happened? There's no promotion, nothing. He came out with this album called Kamikaze, and the first song on this, I believe it's the first song, the first track is The Ringer. And that song was amazing because he was done. Like, you know, he's talked about before that he doesn't really want to go after more people like now. But he's had it, like how they panned his album Revival, all this other stuff that he's had pent up, and he just came out with this song. And he was calling out everyone, all the mumble rappers, calling out President Trump, calling out Iggy Azalea, like everything. And it was just amazing to hear him come out with such a strong attack on all these people. Because, that was my whole reason for me not going into rap for a long time, because that was what people were liking, and I didn't like that. I didn't like the dumb choruses that had nothing to do with the song. Like, and he does that little thing. He goes like Chicken Bang, Ming and Wang, Little Wayne, Little Zane.
But it fits into the song because that's his idea. That's
and he even does a flow where he says like, it's like, I do not like the choppy flow, and he imitates them to show, you know, that it doesn't really require much. And one of the things I love about the song is that he talks about how President Trump even sent like the Secret Service to his house, be like, are you threatening the president with your words? And he's like, your own lyricism. That's how I'll kill him. But he also, what was interesting is he also talks about him regretting some of the stuff he said in his freestyle at the BET Awards. Because remember, he did a freestyle about President Trump, and he basically said he's making a line in the sand, and if you're on the side of President Trump, like, F you. And he calls back, he's like, you know, he says, like, I regret saying it that way, because he's like, I should have said it in a different way, because he understands that there are some people that probably have been misled by him, and that's why they're following, you know, him blindly and all this stuff. So it was really interesting, like, he's attacking people, but also saying, you know, maybe I did some stuff wrong too, and but not being apologetic about who he's calling out. I will say this, though, the funny part is when he talks about, like, if you're not Joyner, if you're not Kendrick Lamar, and then Sean, I was like, Sean?
Big Sean.
Is he talking about Big Sean?
I hope not, to be honest. I mean, no offense. I just not a huge fan.
No, I don't see the big appeal in him. But that's why I was like, Sean. I was like, I only know is Big Sean. Maybe Sean Paul. But
no, he's not Sean Paul. Anymore. That could be Sean Carter.
But I was like, I don't know who he's talking about. Just hopefully it's not Big Sean. But other than that, I just love it. And he also does his whole thing. Like, he had a huge problem with drugs. And he does this one part. It's like, you ain't loud enough. Turn up the volume up. Talking about volume, but saying volume, because that's what he was addicted to. Just little things here and that I thought was really, really unique and just clever. And again, it just took us all by surprise. So,
yeah.
Number two.
That's funny. So your number two, in essence, kind of correlates with mine, because you mentioned drugs and use, or formerly, yeah, or allegedly, speaking of which, ties into mine and some controversial politics, right? So number two for me comes from a prolific and controversial artist known as Kanye West.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, yikes, it comes from his album Ye of this year.
Oh, okay, okay.
Which overall, I don't like the album, which is the only album from him I actually don't like. I've listened to it 3 times through, which is my typical standard to decide on whether I like it or not.
Right.
I ended up saying not liking it. Part of me, a small part of me, wants to go back and listen to see if I can force myself to like it, but I doubt I will. Needless to say, though, 2018 has been obviously like a very polarizing and a controversial year for him. Obviously, this released, what, I think it was in May that he released this album?
I think it was, yeah.
So then I don't know if he had worn the MAGA hat yet. Maybe he had. Yeah, he probably had at that point.
Yeah, he did.
So he just kind of goes through his emotions. Obviously, the bipolar thing, kind of admitting to the mental illness that he's doing. He's as egotistical as ever, which is why I like the track. He has that heavy-hitting bass. He has the catchy little snare drums. He has a weird sound in all of his songs, and it's just this like little echo that just beeps off in the distance, and it plays into the whole aspect of it. I don't know if it's kind of a step into his mind. He makes references to Wiz Khalifa, who he beefed with earlier this year based off of a title for an album. He wanted to call it Waves, and it's a huge thing. He makes comments about North Korea, and we all know North Korea was a huge topic this year in politics. Again, the allegations of him taking drugs, and just he either fesses to it or talks against it, you know?
Right.
Nigga's been trying to test my Gandhi just because I dress like Abercrombie. And he's just saying people question him because of the way he looks or the way he speaks. And then at the end, seeing as that there's, I think, an overall issue or lack thereof, self-esteem and confidence. And that's something I'm really big into. And I think that's why previously in other years, hip hop is really good for some self-esteem. I would say that you can take it as far as being egotistical like he does.
Right.
But he goes, you know, ain't no disability. This is my superpower. It's my superpower. And then he just yells. He's typical Kanye. I saw the old Kanye in that, meaning his hunger, where he's eager to prove himself, not the Yeezus Kanye, where he didn't think he had anything else to prove, so he was just being creative, which I still liked. He was hungry in this song specifically for me. And so that old essence, the nostalgia came through, and I had to love that song. And I played it on and on and on and on and on again. It's a great song, hits hard. If you have a great sound system, you should definitely play that song.
So it's funny how we have songs on albums that we didn't think were great overall, but that's just one track, like, dang.
Yeah, it kills. That's such a good track.
Yeah, that's freaking awesome. Okay, so for the last one, I have two honorable mentions for that probably could have made the list, and one of them is not artists, and like I said, I didn't want to put it on here, but I just really loved it. Was the T Titans Go Rap. I know what you're thinking.
No, but, that's fine. I get it. It's what you like.
Like I said, I love anime. I love cartoons.
The little yachty version.
No, we'll get to that one later.
No, I'm sure.
But that one, like when they play in the movie with all of them, they just. I love the beat. I love how it gets kind of more serious when Robin's part is in it. So just little stuff like that.
It's energetic really like. Too.
It's very energetic. And the other one again, it's another comedic song. It's by Lil Dicky, and it's the song "Freaky Friday" with Chris Brown.
Okay.
Like Lil Dicky is funny because he knows he's a comedic rapper, and so he goes into it with that. And so, like my favorite part is when like he changes into Ed Sheeran. He's like, it's way less cool than being Chris Brown was. And then he goes to DJ Khaled. He's like, why am I yelling? It's just fun. It's just a fun song. But all these other songs obviously are better and they deserve to be on my top five. This last one is one that it's a artist I found this year, but I think he's been around for at least 5 years. And I still don't know how to say his name. And I think it's Bass or Boss. I don't know. Have you heard of him?
No.
So he has this song called Tribe, and it features J. Cole. And it wasn't very big. Like, overall, like if you look at the how many people have played it on YouTube, like 17 million, like not really huge compared to other people or other songs on our list. But what caught my attention was it samples this song called Edo Lobo, or this song by this artist called Edu Lobo, and it's called Zoom Zoom. And if you ever go to like an all-you-can-eat Brazilian place, you go like on a Friday night, there's always some guy playing guitar. And I've heard this beat before, and that's what caught my attention. And so it has like this kind of a tropical Brazilian beat. It goes like dun, 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 dun. And then I was actually reading more about it, and J. Cole actually comes with the drum beat, which it comes in and out of the song to signify when they change their flow. And this song was awesome because he's talking about love. I don't know why it's called Tribe. That's the other thing. I don't know why it's called Tribe because the guy starts talking about how great his life is with the girl that he's with. And then J. Cole on the song, he comes up and they do like this. They do this part like, I think I made it. And then J. Cole's like, I'm hella faded. And like the way that they enter into it. So it's kind of that kind of rhyme pattern, but then they change it up. Like J. Cole, I'm not gonna do it as fast as he says. He goes like, God, shove the cars down my hand with the possible odds, and he keeps going on with that type of flow, and it just changes up when the drums come in. And he has like very, very witty remarks, and I just remember it just got ingrained in my head, and I just kept playing it over and over again. It was, to me, it was the what I wanted to hear from a new rapper. They show me that, you know, you can still have a great song and not follow this mainstream pattern that other rappers are doing now and not sound like clones of each other. And J. Cole always does very well. Like, you know, people always say he's very great, very prolific, very lyrical, and he shows it here in this song as well. He does say a line that's kind of funny. He says, I'm a pit bull, but for you, I'd be on chain tied up. He said, I'd be outside. He's like, having my tail wagging like Oregon trails. And I was like, okay, wagging like, oh, okay. It was very interesting. I never would have thought of rhyming or putting Oregon Trail in that song. It was just, I just love it. It for me, it was without a doubt the number one song for me. Again, it's Bass. The song's called Tribe featuring J. Cole.
Nice. It's really good. I'm not surprised J. Cole made that, to be honest. But I don't have J. Cole in my top five, now that I think about it. But that's okay.
Yeah.
I'll go with my honorable mentions first. So you made your top five, but Wu-Tang Forever, Logic, featuring the Wu-Tang members. Honestly, because the Wu-Tang members, and it was produced by RZA, enough said for me. I don't think I really have to say much more on my part.
Yeah.
This other song, which comes from a new Chicago artist named Juice WRLD. It's actually a very popular song. I believe it's playing on the radio. I don't listen to the radio much. But I've now heard it on the radio, so I'm going to guess it's pretty popular. It's called Lucid Dreams.
Yeah.
It samples Sting's, who's a British artist, or a UK artist, yeah. Yeah. Shape of My Heart, he's early on the 90s song. Ding, 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 ding.
He's the head lead singer of the Police.
Yes. And That being said, funny thing is Juice WRLD, I guess, didn't ask for permission to use that guitar. Yeah. So he's now being sought out for 85% of his earnings, which is a massive sum.
If you see the Billboard Hot 100s, though, he's like, I think he's been in the top five for the past like 2 months.
Lucid Dreams?
Yeah, Lucid Dreams.
Yeah, it's a good song.
So if he's doing 85% of that, oh dang, this thing's making tons of money.
All he had to do was ask for permission, because that will tie into kind of the conversation I'll have a little bit later. But Lucid Dreams is just him and like going through heartbreak.
Yeah.
And I think in it's the second or third verse where he kind of just plays out a what if scenario how things were a bit different. But I think it's a really good song from a young artist. I'm like, okay, there's still some talent out there, and I'm glad it's not the same typical stuff that everyone gets shit on for in as new artists.
Video's trippy. Have you seen the video?
No.
It's kind of trippy. There's at one point like he emerges from this hole, but his neck becomes elongated and then like turns. It's weird.
Right. Lucid Dreaming, right?
Yeah.
So that actually ties directly into my number one, which released earlier this year on Memories Don't Die by Tory Lanez.
Ooh.
And I'm not a huge Tory Lanez fan overall, but this song may force me to start seeking out some more of his not popular stuff.
Okay.
It also samples Shape of My Heart by
Sting.
Sting. But he's not in trouble for it, because I'm going to assume he and his group knew what they had to do. They got permission to use it from Sting. And maybe Sting has created arguably one of my favorite beats of all time, because I do like his original song. I like Lucid Dreams that uses it. I like Tory Lanez's pieces. And not to be forgotten, The Message by Nas, which is one of my all-time favorite hip-hop songs, also samples Sting's song. So it's interesting to see that I've already now become attached to three songs that aren't the original Shape of My Heart. But in this song from Tory Lanez, it paints a vivid story of just how everything is kind of tied together, and one decision, a very poor decision by one, affects more people than just that one individual. And it can even affect people that are indirectly, like nonlinear, right? It affects, it's like that ripple effect. But it paints a vivid picture through like rape situation, murder, kind of drugs, hardship befalling people, and suicide as well. 50 Cent is on it as well. And it's done. And I watched the interview afterwards, because the song was so interesting to me. I want to see if he had any sort of implications on why he approached it this way. It's very storytelling-esque, kind of like your Nas, Jay-Z's couple songs, Biggie, Tupac with like Brenda's got a baby. Even 50 Cent says it at the end of the song. But it starts a cappella with 50 Cent saying, "Adrenaline pumping, heart pacer races, altercations we lit. Blood drips, stain the ground, boy get down, you hit. Same hood, different day, same whip, different clip, letting off. Somehow we end up in the same shit." So that's, again, and so that's the beginning, kind of like Quentin Tarantino, which is exactly what Tory Lanez said. He wanted to give you the ending, go into the story, then give you the ending again, which is exactly how it kind of ends with 50 Cent using that same verse,
right,
but no longer a cappella. He talks to a woman. The woman kind of tells him about her story, and she was given to her uncle. Her uncle was a good dude, met a bad lady. Bad lady got him into drugs. He became a different person through the drugs, raped her. She's had enough. She ends up killing him.
Cool day.
And then he kind of goes through that, and he goes, she sat back and blew six in that boy's face, six bullets into his face. You hear six gunshots at altering times, and it's like really interesting. Then it goes into his chorus. Say it, I want you on my head. No, I won't leave you lonely. You hold your head up high. I won't let go because I can't leave you lonely. And it keeps repeating, can't leave you lonely. Goes into the second verse. It's about another kid who's growing up, never knew his father. He was raised kind of pretty much by his cousin, who happens to be the woman who killed his father. So it's like this whole circle that goes into it. He runs into a woman. That woman happens to be his mother. So if you think about it, it's probably that girlfriend he had that got him into drugs.
Right.
And the woman says, because he didn't know his mom, I know about you. He knew about his birthmark, a scar when he fell when he was four, fell off in the road. He ends up getting mad at her and saying, this is why my life has been full of lies. And then he just is done with trying. So he shoots her twice. And then he ends up killing himself, and you hear the gunshot and the body dropping, and then you just hear a lull with a small beat, and then 50 jumps back into the opening scene. Yeah.
Oh, opening, okay.
Yeah, so that's an amazing song, definitely up there, one of the best hip-hop songs I've heard, period. Dang. That's why it deserved my top spot. I listened to that song. The only song I listened to more than that song this year was Shook Ones Part 2 by Mobb Deep, but I heard that song years ago, yeah. So that can't make my number one.
Okay, dang. We've had... That's very, very different. I actually like that. I like how we can... We have very different... Not, I said different tastes, but we just had different people on our list. And yeah, I mean, hopefully we... You know, if you guys are listening, if you give us our list of... Or your list of what songs you liked, you know, best... send that us to I think it's hiphopswari2018@gmail.com is the email. But before we leave, we're going to give our top five worst songs of 2018 rap songs. And again, I don't think we're going to spend too much time on them because they don't deserve it, honestly.
There are worse songs. I had a tough time even consider. Like, I had actually had to pull some back up before recording this because I couldn't remember. So these are trash. I don't want to listen to these.
Right. And so let's kind of go down through here. This is what I want to do. Let's go down to... Let's do our just first four, and then we'll save our last one to talk a little bit more. First one that I hated is from this guy named Famous Dex, and he came out with this song called Japan. And I was like, first of all, I like the beat, okay? And actually, beat's not... It's fine. But he is just the stupidest person that... writing the dumbest songs. He's like, I just popped out 50,000 in Japan. I was like,
you showed me that song. Yeah, I couldn't believe it.
I couldn't believe it either. And it's just horrible. Like, even if you're watching the videos, like, two out of the three girls, and they don't know what the heck they're doing. Like, oh, this song sucks. I don't want to be here. And just ridiculous. I will give him props for making... If you ever watched Dexter Laboratory, he made himself Dexter. Just put himself with his cornrows and his tattoos, which I thought was actually pretty cool. But that song's trash, and he just... I don't know what he was thinking. It's just, I think it's very offensive, to be quite honest.
Yeah, and I actually... That almost made my worst five, but for whatever reason, I felt like you were going to put it, so I chose not to put it on my worst five.
That's why I think we thought these things, because I had some that aren't going to be from Gucci Mane, and I knew you were going to put on yours, and I was like, nah, I'm not going to put it on mine. You're going to cover that anyway.
So, yeah, needless, I'll jump right into it. Yeah. Kept Back, Gucci Mane, and Lil Pump, which... I don't know what to say about these two people. I know that they're never considered lyrically amazing, and there are some songs I enjoy from both of them. This song is not one of them. I felt it was super lazy. They probably just kind of half-assed it. They were at the studio together, oh, let's put it, or they mailed it to each other, whatever, emailed it to each other. Just put it, even the beat sounds lazy. It doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of structure. It's not even fun, which, if I'm going to listen to someone that's not going to be lyrically good, make it fun, make it entertaining. It wasn't. It just kind of drags its feet throughout the whole song, so I hated it.
More power to you on that one. The next one. First of all, I didn't even know this was an artist. But do you remember a while ago there was that little meme or that little YouTube video of that girl on Dr. Phil?
Cash Me Outside. Bad Baby.
Yeah, Bad Baby.
I don't even like referring to her because I don't like giving her any sort of attention.
I didn't want to, but I did. It's on my list because of what people were saying about this song. So the song's called Trust Me. And so, first of all of her songs are like, she's like, I'm going to shoot you up. I'm a bad bitch. Blah, 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 blah. And she has a song called Bad Bick. They took out the T. I was like, okay. Crappy song. But this one, like, she has like this lighter melody and she's kind of singing. And people are like, oh my gosh, she's maturing. I have this song on repeat. I love this song. I was like, okay, let me hear this. It's not even anything different. She's just only adding like, that she likes someone or she wants someone to like her. Like, it's a slow song and she's like, tote that Glock, hold that work, baby, do you love me? I'm like, what? What? That's nothing to do with nothing. And I think, I can't remember who's on it. Is it 21 Savage or, I don't know who the feature was, but it was just crap. And I got mad just because people were saying that this is showing that she's maturing. I was like, no, it's not. She's just making a slow song that means nothing. There's nothing tying them together. She's talking about shooting people and being armed, but then saying, I love you. Okay. It's just, they don't, two things that don't go together. Yeah. And it's just...
I will never like anything from her, and being biased too, because we've perpetually shown people we reward poor behavior by giving them attention and money. So I refuse to like anything she ever puts out.
Yeah. But how about you?
I struggled putting this in my worst five, but it's going on there anyways. Not for Radio by the same person I have in my top five, Nas. And honestly, maybe I'm still biased, but it has Puff Daddy on it, and he's just ruining it. P. Diddy ruined it. The song lyrically, I mean, he has some couple stuff that, and I won't even get into it, but
as we proceed,
just yeah, Puff Daddy's also, and this will be another podcast we'll do on hip hop story, but I feel he's the main source as to why hip hop is being ruined. That's it. That's because he can hop on a track, shout nonsense, and make his money. And people are like, oh, if he can do it, I can do it too, which is 100% true. And the man has a Grammy. And maybe because of all that, I just couldn't allow myself to like Not For Radio, even though it came from one of my favorite artists.
My favorite thing, just talking about just P. Diddy, just very, very small, was remember how Eminem mentioned him? Wasn't in Killshot or was it in, I can't remember which one it was, but he mentions them and he's like, what are you doing? He's like, be taken care of. What does that mean?
Yeah, what have you done, Diddy? What have you no taken gangster. Care of?
We know this.
And if you want to get into the whole Illuminati shit or the whole mafia thing, great. But I mean, Eminem's still walking around, and I'm pretty sure if he drops another album, he'll sell his millions and still make the same amount of money he probably did recently in this past few years. Yeah, so whatever. He's not touching him.
So number three. So this deals with Kanye West. Like we said, he came out with a kind of lukewarm album. And his song that he came up with, Little Pump, the I Love It song. It's funny because if they're just, again, there's context to this song that they're so on opposite ends. Because the comedian that is featured in the song, it's in the little bit where it's like women would be oppressed, like, and fake these orgasms. And now, like, I want to come, motherfucker. Like, she is very, like, I not equal rights, but, like, women, like, have needs and all this stuff. And then in the song, I mean, Lil Pump obviously starts with that. He's like, you're such a fucking hoe. I love. And it's just like, why? And it's funny because even in the song, I know he did it intentionally. Kanye West, when Lil Pump's ending, he's like looking like, should I be saying this? Should you be saying this? No, I'm like, what? I don't understand why. And then I guess it's not very impressive. I guess he's being really lazy. He has lines that are very short and that are very people will like. Like
it's easy to memorize.
I like my dick suck. I mean, I can't deny it's catchy. Like it's just very just short little things, and so but it's just so below what he's done in the past, and again it's just opposite of what she was trying to say in her bit, and so I don't know if he was doing that to be ironic, which he may well have. That'd been the reason, because Kanye...
He's bipolar shit.
He's bipolar, yeah.
Ain't no disability.
My superpower. But, that had to be on there. It was just that, no.
I'm surprised it's as liked as it is.
Yeah, I don't understand it.
I don't mind it, though. I'm not going to lie. I don't love it, but... mine comes from Logic, who made an honorable mention for me, but on the same album, the Sinatra 4... iconic. It has Jaden Smith on it.
Yes.
And I don't like Jaden Smith. I don't hate the kid. I don't, but it's just not my style. It sounds odd. It sounds like I'm listening to a kid who's still discovering how he belongs in hip hop when I don't really think, I mean, I'm not saying he doesn't belong, but he hasn't found what he is supposed to be.
He's tried and
it hasn't panned out for him. And then with Logic, who at times I think he sounds really, really nice. At other times I think it just feels forced. It's not my style. I didn't like Iconic. It was two people trying really hard to make something that wasn't grandeur, and they tried making it grandeur by calling it Iconic, and it felt completely flat. It was not iconic.
He did that with his song Last Call, because he even talks about it. Like J. Cole had one. He had Kanye West had one. I wanted to do one. And like I said, it's not a bad song, but it just doesn't live up to the songs that he had.
Yeah, Last mentioned. Call from Kanye's. That's a tough thing to even attempt to do.
Yeah, but. And so that's why, like, I understand that he was trying to go for that, but it just didn't.
It didn't work.
It didn't work out too well. It's not a bad song. It just doesn't live up to what he was trying to make it be. Number two for mine, it is Lil Yachty, and it's his version of the Go Teen Titans Go song. Now, like I said, this song, if you listen to the original song, it's very upbeat. It's just, it grabs your attention, and the different... performances of each of the voice actors is just amazing. It just reels you in because they're your characters that you've grown up and watching. Lil Yachty is an idiot. He has no energy whenever he's on the mic whatsoever. And so for his version of that song, he, first of all, there's changes to the beat. So it's not as, I say, colorful as the other one. It's more kind of the same. And his voice is just doesn't match the energy of what the song's supposed to be. And I thought it was trash, and Lil Yachty should just stop rapping.
Yeah, it makes it difficult because it wasn't just a bad song. It was a bad song when you already had the exact same song sound so good for you.
Yeah.
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 That makes perfect sense. One of mine is an older song that didn't come out this year from what I understand. Maybe it was last year, but the controversial rapper Tekashi 6ix9ine, Trippy Red, they have a song called Polls 1469. And it came up on a playlist where I was just playing random hip hop songs, just kind of discovering new things. And I heard that, what is this? Trippy Red, who I've never heard another song by him, by the way. This is the only song I've heard from him. Just completely autotune, which doesn't bother me, but I think it's done so awful. It sounds kind of sharp and flat at times, so it really bothers my ear. Acoustically, it doesn't sound right. I don't understand it. And then you have the other kid sounding like Onyx, just yelling. It's not harmonious by any means. It's just a bunch of nonsense. I only listened to it once, but it was enough for me to place it in my bottom five.
Okay. So number one on mine, this again, so this is all based on what people were saying about the song, how well it did on the Billboard Hot 100s, and how much it does not deserve to be in there, because I think this is total trash. This is by Sheck West. This is Mo Mamba.
I don't like Sheck West either.
This is the thing, though. This is what I don't understand why they focused on this song. They, first of all, they're like, he did this song in one take. Like, it was like a grand thing because not many artists do that. Like, that's all I heard. I never heard the song at this point. I was like, actually, I thought at that point, oh, you know, that's very impressive. Let me hear this. Bobby, let my body ball. Like, he does all these weird noises. He doesn't do anything in the song. He basically just, like, calls out to his friends, like, hey, you did this with me, or I'm gonna, you're coming with me, kind of, and I don't remember the lyrics, because I just hate listening to it. There is one part where he starts, like, getting, like, more intense, and then nothing anymore. Like, maybe 2 seconds, then nothing. And this peaked at number six. The Billboard Hot number six. Travis Scott, died with the Sicko Mode, well, I think it's higher than that, and I gave him to it, because I actually like that song. How much changes there is. You know, Lucid Dreams, the great song. This song does not deserve to be anywhere near the top 100. This song is shit. That's what it is. And so that's my number one. It just, no.
Yeah, I can see that because I disagree. Or not disagree. I completely agree. I dislike that song. And clearly it was written in one day because it just sucks.
Blueprint was written one, or was recorded, what, 2 or 3 days? And it was a masterpiece?
Yeah, Blueprint 1 was completely recorded, edited, and finalized. I think it was in 2 days.
And see, and I'm pretty sure Jay might have done a track or two in one take.
Yeah, he's,
and like I said,
Rick Rubin has admitted it on tape. He goes, yeah, I've seen him listen to the beat for the first time once, and listen to it maybe 2 or 3 times. Hops in, spits his record or his lines, and he's done.
Yeah, and so like I said, it can be done. That's why it caught my attention. Like,
of course,
that's impressive, but. No.
I didn't know it was done in one day, but I mean, hearing
it was
now,
done
like,
in one take. They said aside from
one
like,
take, whatever.
They said aside from like little like yells and go, sure. They had to do it.
The things.
After that, I was like,
the little okay. Ad libs.
Yeah.
Stuff.
I was like, but yeah, that's my number one.
Cool. Mine, I guess, came late in the game. It was Nicki Minaj, Good Form.
Uh-huh.
This is the remix, though. I guess it wasn't the original. It didn't include Lil Wayne, but this is the one that also includes Lil Wayne.
Oh,
and I'm disappointed in both, quite frankly. Like the chorus. I believe, I could be mistaken because I haven't listened to the song much, this is a shot at Miss Cardi B, right? Because they're beefing.
Yeah.
For whatever reason. And I think that's what it is in refers to, because she goes, hold up. And I don't like it one bit. She just talks about how she's the baddest in the game, which we've heard multiple times. And I'm fine with that, but get creative with it. She overexploits sexualism, which doesn't bother me again, but I'm just sick of her. She's bitter that Astroworld from Travis Scott outsold her. She's bitter that Cardi's making it bigger than she is right now. She's hotter than she is. I tell him, eat the cookie because it's good for him. And when he eat the cookie, he got good for him. Like, just the ghetto fabulous style that she has going on bothers me. Go back to your normal rapping style. If it's in there every once in a while, that's great. But that's now her cash cow, is constantly having that Barbie high pitched, squealy voice, and it's irking.
But it's funny. Like, is that better than her manly voice that she does
when she does like the more aggressive? I prefer that though.
There's the aggressive one, but there's like the.
Is Cardi it the, when B she does Roman?
Huh? Yeah.
When like her alter ego Roman? Yeah.
Because yeah. It's funny because on. Sorry, I didn't want to take your
No, you're time, good. You're good. Go ahead.
But Cardi B does that sometimes, and I care. Like, is she copying Nicki Minaj? Because she does that in the song Taki Taki. She kind of does like a little bit lower like voice, and it just reminds me of that. That's what Nicki does. Nicki Minaj does.
Yeah, and then Wayne comes on. He does your typical Wayne nonsense lyrics of punchlines, which sometimes he pulls off, but this it just didn't work. And again, perhaps you may have heard I'm biased, and I am. I'll admit I am. And for those reasons, she made the worst one for me because of her beef, her being annoyed that she's not selling as much as other people. Grow up, continue to make the music you used to, and I guarantee she'd find the same success. And I would listen to her more, but
yeah.
Her recent Ghetto Barbie fabulous stuff has bothered me. So I'm now annoyed.
Oh my gosh. All right. So we actually got that all in one episode. I thought it was going to be a lot longer, but it wasn't. So that's it. That's our top five. Best songs and worst songs of 2018. Again, let us know what songs were the best and the worst, and maybe tell us why we're wrong of why some of the songs we have on our list aren't on there. We love to hear, you know, you disagreeing with us, because I think that makes for good discussions. Follow us on podomatic.com, where Hip Hop Soiree, and then our Gmail is hiphopsoiree2018. So we're gonna take maybe a little break. Come back in January with new stuff. We'll probably think of a new lineup and schedule, what we're going to do. If you have anything you want us to talk about, let us know with that. We'll probably do actually start doing videos in 2018. So look out for that. 2019. Duh. Hey, this is going to happen all year. So thank you again. Have a Merry Christmas and have a great New Year's. This is DJ Goose.
And this is Poppy.
This is Hip Hop Soiree.
Oh.
Hey!